The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is, well, Tuesday, March 23rd. If you are listening to this, if you're watching us on YouTube, it is Monday, March 22nd. We're in the middle of a bunch of basketball games on CBS and a very enticing March Madness, but we are here to break down everything NFL related. Joining me to do so, Ryan Wilson. Hey, John Breach, what's up, fellas?
Yep. I know people like to talk about this, so we got an update. Breach is actually a 3.0 on the USTA tennis scale, the same as Brinson, even though he hasn't played in 20 years. So again, that matchup will happen sometime either early 2022 or even later this year. So look forward to that. Brinson will probably take his whooping. Whether he takes it like a man, that's another matter.
I will be training 3 hours a day for the next 11 months. And I'm going to buy one of Pete Sampras's old rackets off of eBay. And it's probably going to be wooden. I don't even care. I'm going to destroy Brinson with it.
What if you beat with a wooden racket? Oh, my God. This is 2021 is what do the kids call? It's when something's going well.
Lit.
It's lit.
The lit that keeps on litting.
Is that a thing?
No.
It should be. I'm going to start saying it. I'm going to put it on a shirt.
On this episode, we're going to recap a bunch of recent free agency news. Probably be a kind of a tight episode. We'll see how that goes. In the feed, of course, Mock Draft Monday 6.0 with Ryan Wilson. And as I mentioned, basketball all over the place. Tons of college basketball happening. And the madness is in full swing. And the Ion College Basketball Podcast is your audio guide for the entire NCAA tournament. Gary Parrish and Matt Norlander will continue to provide breakdowns and daily recaps as we enter the second weekend of the tourney. If you want the best March Madness analysis, subscribe to the Ion College Basketball Podcast anywhere you find this show. We mentioned it on the Mock Draft Podcast, but worth diving into because wide receivers are getting signed. We saw Kenny Galladay, 4 years, $72 million, with $40 million guaranteed to the Giants, and Juju Smith-Schuster, 1 year, $8 million to the Steelers. Breach, which one of those deals do you like better?
The one that is half the price of the other one. Great for the Giants getting Kenny Galladay. He's going to help their offense. But if my options are to pay $18 million per year for Kenny Galladay or get Juju Smith-Schuster for $8 million and only one season. So maybe, Juju has a huge year and you have to give more money next year. But for 2021, it feels like the big winner out of those two deals is the Steelers. I mean, it feels like they got a steal, pun intended, with Smith-Schuster. And so, I mean, it's surprising. And maybe Ryan can, talk about this a little bit more. But were you surprised that Juju took such a team-friendly deal?
Yeah, a couple things. And Brinson and I talked about that on the Sunday podcast. The thing Brinson noted, Galladay's 27. He's old, number one. Juju's only 24, and they came out at the same time, I do believe, which makes sense because they were up for free agency. I like the Juju Smith-Schuster deal better because it's 1 year, $8 million, as you pointed out, Breach. But also, it's even cheaper by about $7 million than the fifth-year option would have been had Juju been a first-round pick. So not only are you saving that $7 million, you're getting Juju back for 1 year for $8 million, presumably because he wasn't considered a number one receiver in free agency, and that's why he wasn't taken, wasn't signed immediately and sort of needed a few days to figure out what he was going to do, and then decided to go back to Pittsburgh. There were reports that Kansas City was interested and he didn't want to have to compete for snaps with Tyreek and Travis Kelce. And JLC reported that the Ravens were very interested, offered him more money, but he didn't want to go to a team that runs the ball all the time. So he thought his best chance to cash in big in 2022 was to go back to Pittsburgh for a year. And look, the Steelers cap situation will be better now that they're having to cut everyone. They'll probably win 4 football games next year. And maybe they'll have the money to bring back Juju if that's what they decide to do. But yeah, I think that makes the most sense. I love Kenny Golladay, but I didn't know he was 27 until Brinson pointed it out. So this is probably his last big money deal.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's part of the problem for the Giants. So the Juju signing for the Steelers feels like, you know, smart bargain shopping by Pittsburgh to bring back a guy that they know about, a young guy, you know, somebody who I guess we thought there was a chance they would franchise tag, but maybe a chance for Juju Smith-Schuster to sort of grow and develop and play well this year to show that he can be a true number one or to fit better. I don't know. I mean, like, I like Pittsburgh bringing him back. I just think you're like, I think there's a chance that Juju isn't great moving forward. I think there's a chance that not isn't great, but like it doesn't. I think there's a good chance Juju doesn't morph into an elite top five wide receiver. I also think there's a chance that Kenny Golladay doesn't morph into an elite top five wide receiver. And if I'm taking that chance, I'd rather take it on the guy for $8 million. I think Kenny Golladay's better. I'd rather have him. I think he's, you know, gives you more of a threat down the field. You know, you need some big play explosion there in New York. And I think he's a great fit for what they have, but that's a lot of money to shell out. And it could look like if the Daniel Jones thing doesn't work out, you're going to be stuck with an expensive Kenny Golladay and no quarterback.
They got Mike Glennon.
I do have Mike Glennon.
One thing about Galladay's deal is that Florio had something at Pro Football Talk that said, as far as all the reports out there, is that Galladay's highest offer, besides what he ended up getting from the Giants, was $13 million per year, and that was from the Bengals. Why don't you take that, Galladay? Go catch passes from Joe Burrow. My God, you do. Doesn't make sense. But so the Bengals were apparently offering $13 million. The Bears were offering somewhere in the range of $11 to $12 million. And so all of a sudden, the Giants just fly in there and blow all these other offers out of the water, even though they didn't have to. You could offer them $15 million a year, and he probably would have taken it if he didn't have anything else close to that number, and it doesn't sound like he did. And so, you know,
so obviously— Breach, has Golladay said why he went to New York? Because I like the idea of Allen Robinson and Kenny Golladay in Chicago. I mean, they need a quarterback, obviously, but at least there's you're not having to do all the legwork. You could sort of do what you did in some sense in Detroit with Marvin Jones.
Yeah, he had he talked to the press on Saturday and just said he's excited about playing in the offense. You know, the normal stuff you would expect someone to say after taking the money and not choosing your team based on necessarily your best fit.
Yeah, this is very clearly who's offering me the most money because I'm 27. I'm going to sign a 4 or 5 year deal. It's going to be the only contract I probably, well, I guess he could play 3 years of this deal and then it could get, you know, you could see him hit free agency again at the age of 30 and he could get like a smaller deal. Like, I don't think, but this is the first and only
31 when he hits it.
I'm just thinking if he plays out 3 years and then they cut him, which
I see. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Here's your exact answer. He was asked, what made the Giants situation so attractive to you? Kenny said, quote, just the pieces on offense. Those guys actually kind of reached out to me, and I like the vision the coach Joe Judge and offensive coordinator Jason Garrett had as far as the offense, and I was all the way in.
Unquote. I will say Joe Judge is an easier sell than Matt Nagy at this point.
And Zach Taylor.
Yeah, but how about Jason Garrett?
Yeah, but he probably knows. I'm sure Joe Judge is like, listen, Jason Garrett's going to be here 2 more weeks. And then
but I will say that I think when you look at the Kenny Golladay contract, that it is quite clearly I said it on yesterday's show, and I'm just going to repeat it again. It is Dave Gettleman doubling down on himself and his previous plans for the Giants and trying to shove all in on him and by giving Daniel Jones a quarterback and saying, I don't care about our cap situation. I'm going to jam this Kenny Golladay contract underneath it because the cap hit for this year, so he has a signing bonus of $17 million. The cap hit for Kenny Golladay, like his base salary in 2021 is $1 million. His cap hit is $4.65 million, which is hilariously low for a first-year free agent signing in the modern NFL. His cap hit next year, $21.15 million, which is a ton, especially if this thing only smooths out. And you can't save any money by cutting him. In 2023, his cap hit is $21.4 million. And you can save $11 million by cutting him. And then in 2024, his cap hit also $21.4 million. And the Giants can save $15 million by cutting him. And they're going to have it. They have $3.4 million in dead cap space on avoidable fifth year, it looks like. So this is pretty obviously a contract that was designed to – it's a – I'm not sure we're going to get somebody in the draft. I want to get Kenny Golladay. I think he'll help Daniel Jones, and we're going to smash this into the cap regardless of the financial implications situation.
Yep.
Sounds about right.
Yep. They got Kyle Rudolph. They got, we talked about it yesterday. They have Darius Slayton. They have Sterling Shepard coming back.
They have John Ross, former top 10 pick, John Ross.
And they have Saquon coming back. The offensive line is a concern, but I mean, they do.
If John Ross is good in New York, it doesn't reflect well in the Bengals, right?
He ain't going to be
good. I know how football works, Brinson. I understand.
You're like, former top 10 pick, John Ross. You may remember him as the guy that my team drafted over Patrick Mahomes.
Oh. I don't remember him like that. That doesn't make sense. The Bengals didn't need a quarterback in that draft, Brinson. They're not the Bears.
Bengals clearly needed a quarterback. Andy Dalton was washed. It was very obvious.
He's very defensive about the tennis conversation, Breach.
It's crazy. Now I'm just going to beat him. I was going to let him win a few games in tennis. Now he's not winning any.
What if you beat him 6-0, 6-0?
I'm going to now for all the Bengals slander.
it's ridiculous.
He's going to dress up in an Andre Agassi wig in Bengals colors, denim, like acid wash shorts, and he's going to beat you 6-0, 6-0.
Yes.
All right. Broncos sign Justin Simmons, who we thought they might be going year for year on at the franchise tag, to a long-term deal, giving him 4 years, $61 million. And they also went out and signed in free agency Kendall Fuller to a one-year, $9.5 million deal, having already added Ronald Darby. Do we think that the Denver Broncos are morphing into more of a contender than Ryan Wilson originally thought?
No, until they fix the quarterback situation, they are not. And that's the reality. I mean, as I said, you guys aren't allowed on the Chargers bandwagon. The Chiefs are the Chiefs. We'll see what happens to the Raiders. They've made some curious moves early the first week of free agency, and then they decided not to cut all their offensive line, but to trade them. But they still need offensive line help. So we'll see what happens there. But I feel like Drew Lock is the wild card, and they'll get Cortland Sutton back, and they have Jerry Jeudy, and they have KJ Hamler, and they have Noah Fant. Which is all great. They have Melvin Gordon, I think, one more year left in his deal. Offensive line isn't bad, but in the defense, they've tried to solidify that. They could still probably use another cornerback, even with Darby and Fuller. But what do you have in Drew Lock? And I think at the end of the day, that's the question.
I mean, that's obviously the biggest question, but as far as looking at just the Justin Simmons deal and basically everything the Broncos did over the weekend. They didn't just sign Simmons this long-term deal. They also signed Kyle Fuller, as you mentioned. And you know, if you're Denver and you're in the AFC West, what do you want? You want a strong secondary so that Patrick Mahomes isn't out there throwing for 700 yards against you. You know, we know that Broncos have guys who can rush the passer, keeping Von Miller, Bradley Chubb there. And now they have a pretty strong secondary. I mean, you mentioned all the names there, Ryan, with Ronald Darby, with Kyle Fuller, Justin Simmons, and we still don't know what's going to happen with Kareem Jackson. He didn't sign with anyone, did he? I think the Broncos are thinking about keeping him, but nothing's been decided there yet. And he's not a bad safety. So if you keep him, you have a pretty good starting four in your secondary, which is exactly what you want when you're facing Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, and to a somewhat lesser extent, Derek Carr, twice a year.
I thought that the Broncos, did they work out something where they're going to keep Vaughn? Am I crazy?
Yeah, they picked up his option.
Yeah, they picked up his option. So he's coming back for sure.
Unless they trade him. But yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he's a much of a trade asset, honestly. I look, man, KC's the obvious favorite in this, you know, division. I mean, they're gonna, if Mahomes plays 16 games, they're going to win the division. But I think you can make the case that Denver has a really good-looking team outside of Drew Locke, who is a question.
No one's not making that case, but what does that translate to in terms of wins? Because last year I said they're going to make the playoffs, and that blew up right in my face.
Well, I guess I'm wondering, would you take the Raiders or the Broncos right now?
I mean, they're both going to be sitting at 8-8 or worse, I feel like, right now, so it doesn't matter.
I guess if you're all in on the Chargers, you're all out of the Broncos and Raiders.
Yeah, you're not going to have three teams that division go.
But if you're asking just out of those two teams, just out of the Raiders and Broncos, I'll probably take the Broncos.
I think I might just take the Raiders.
I think the Broncos are a lot closer.
You just said, and you agree with this, think about it, John Gruden coached his butt off.
Yeah, unfortunately, he's not very good at personnel moves.
Yeah, but I mean, okay, in game, who would you rather have, him or Vic Fangio?
Gruden, for sure.
Yeah, okay, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, okay, that's a fair point.
And Vegas agrees with me, according to Debo. Plus 1,200 for the Raiders to win the division. The Broncos are plus 1,600.
I'll definitely take the Broncos at that value.
And then you will throw.
I mean, I wouldn't don't bet on either one of those. But I'm saying, like, if I had to pick, if you're giving me better odds on the Broncos, I'm taking them over the Raiders. I mean, like, anything can happen in football. That seems pretty unlikely.
Not anything. Like, the Bengals can't win the Super Bowl. That can't happen.
That's incorrect. They are one of 32 teams eligible to win it, Ryan.
Yeah,
they won't win it. Let me put it that way.
I would say this: if I were betting on the AFC West, I know this sounds crazy, but I actually think the Broncos are the bet I would make.
That's not smart.
Probably not, but I'm not taking the Chiefs at minus 400 is just insane.
That's why you take the Chargers at plus 475. At that,
no, feels like 5-1 for the Chargers. I feel like the Broncos at 16-1 is just more value.
But you know it's not going
to
come
16-1 to win the division. But you know, Chargers aren't winning the division.
They could. Like, if you know, if Chad Henne has to come in for a month or something.
If Chad Henne comes in for a month, then the Broncos are live too.
Why? Who's their quarterback?
Drew Locke can improve.
You're just trying to talk yourself into throwing money away. That's fine. But I mean, don't bet the Broncos at 16. Don't bet the Broncos at 16 million to one.
Like, unless you think they're going to bring in a quarterback who is going to take the job from Drew Locke, because then you get the number before.
And by the way, that quarterback they bring in could also include present day John Elway as being an upgraded quarterback for the Broncos.
That is true. But it's hard. It's just betting the AFC West. It's hard to bet against a team that went 14-1 with its starter. So, like, you can say there's better value somewhere else, but there's not if the Chiefs are just going to roll through the division, you know, and it's hard to see. Obviously, the Raiders beat them once, handed them that only loss last
season. Raiders were second in that division last year. How many games did they win?
I think 7-9 or 8-8.
Oh, my gosh. So they were either 8-8 and the Chargers were 7-9 and the Broncos were below that. Like, minus 400 actually feels like a bargain.
For the Chiefs?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Raiders are 8-8.
You just have to lay 400. You have to outlay $400 to win 100. It sits there for like 9 months.
Right. And then you see things like Patrick Mahomes get hurt, like, oh my God.
Yeah, exactly. And yes, I mean, but right, the Broncos 5-11. There's not a whole lot of reason to think anyone else will win the division. So let's not linger on it too long. In fact, let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll get some more free agents.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, so of note, man, it's getting a little thin out there, kids.
These are good names. I like these names.
Yeah, Anthony Harris. All right, yeah, all one-year deals. I mean, these guys are famous.
These guys are famous. Anthony Harris, I think, was a Pro Bowler. I don't know if last year, but definitely year before. And I think this Xavier,
Adam Azier was trying to suggest that Xavier Rhodes is like a top 50 all-time cornerback at one point this season. It was crazy.
I mean, he refound his game last year in Indianapolis. So I think that makes sense. But the year before that, Mike certainly was a huge fan. But right. Anthony Harris, I'm shocked that he feels like the Juju Smith-Schuster of free agency. Why is he getting the same as Kenny Neal, that one-year $5 million deal? He went to the Eagles, of course. Keanu Neal went to the Cowboys.
Keanu Reeves?
Yeah, Kenny Reeves. Kenny Reeves in The Matrix, starring John Breach. So the Anthony Harris thing, I would imagine that makes Debo. I would be excited about getting someone like Anthony Harris, who's an absolute ball hawk and one of the best free safeties in the NFL, I feel like. But maybe he's having to do the Honey Badger thing that we talked about on the Sunday night podcast. Just suck it up for a year and then make your money in the back on the round two 12 months from now.
And it is weird because it's not even like Juju Smith-Schuster level bargain. This is like in a tier of its own because, you know, there's some, I think teams are hesitant to think that Juju is a number one wide receiver. So it didn't seem like he was going to get number one wide receiver money. Nobody thought he was going to get $18 million a year, but nobody thought, you know, he was going to go all the way down to $8 million. But as far as Anthony Harris goes, you hit the nail on the head, Ryan. This is one of the best safeties in the NFL signing a $5 million deal. Are you kidding me? So
he's basically, according to the Eagles, two times better than Mr. Trubisky, which isn't true.
I don't know. You could put Anthony Harris at quarterback. I think he'd do better than Trubisky would at safety.
Exactly.
And so now all of a sudden, you know, 2 years ago, we were talking about how big of a weakness the Eagles secondary was. And I think we joked about it all year. And just the fact that it was horrible. Now you have Anthony Harris, Darius Slay. It's in the same secondary. So this has gone from a weakness to something that should be a strength this year.
And maybe Stephon Gilmore, if they trade down with the Patriots.
Yeah, I was going to ask Breach, what do you think about this trade? So the Eagles are currently at 12. The Patriots are at 15. If you're the Eagles, you have Anthony Harris, you have Darius Slay. Would you trade down to 15 with the Patriots for their number one, the 15th pick, and Stephon Gilmore?
Eagles are at six. You said 12 right. Based on your trade that you had in your mock draft.
Thank you. Yes. They originally at six on Planet Wilson. They're at 12.
I was about to say, if I'm trading from 12 to 15, it's a no brainer. That'd be the easiest decision. I'm calling the league office and right now. But trading from 6 to 15, I think it just depends. If you're planning on taking a quarterback, which I know, Ryan, you get beat up on Twitter all the time anytime you have the Eagles taking a quarterback in your mock draft, then you can't do the trade because you have to figure out how to get that quarterback in the draft, and it's not going to happen.
Let's say they're fine with Jalen Hurts.
If you are fine with Jalen Hurts, then I'm making the deal.
So, I mean, that's a legit secondary. You get the 15th pick, and then, you know.
If I'm the Eagles, I kind of – what are the Eagles' odds? I'm pulling a Wilson, sorry. But what do we think the Eagles' odds to win the division? I don't think they will, but I'm at least, like, curious.
It's got to be close. All those odds have to be close.
Six to one?
Cowboys are plus 100. Football team plus 280. Eagles plus 425, Giants plus 525.
Wow, Giants are last.
So I thought about it a little bit more. I would not do that deal. I know I said different on the podcast. Just Stephon Gilmore being 30 years old and the Eagles not having an immediate path to the playoffs or true contention this year. Mm. You know, you're in your year one, you think, with Jalen Hurts. I think you give him an offensive weapon or a long-term offensive tackle rather than, like, trying to make something happen just for 2021 when ultimately not a lot's going to happen in 2021. So I was more of a long-term vision after I thought about it rather than, like, the short-term. I would convince myself, like, oh, look at this secondary. We can compete, but that's probably fool's gold a little bit.
Yeah, he's 30. I didn't know that. That's too
old. Yeah.
He's only got 1 year left on his contract.
He
wants a new deal. That's the problem.
What about 15, Stephon Gilmore and Jared Stidham? Does that make it any sweeter? That's a no. Okay.
Give me those
odds are crazy, though. The Giants finished one game out of first place. And they have the worst odds in the NFC East.
We've talked about this yesterday. They've gotten a lot better. I think the Eagles feels like the most chaotic team, which is what I always call them. But I don't – like, I think I took the Giants. You took the football team yesterday when we talked about this as the possible favors. No one took the Cowboys. Are you taking the Cowboys, Breach?
You think Breach got reprogrammed for another year? That is incorrect. It did not. Jerry Jones only paid for 1 year. He didn't re-up. I'm off the Cowboys bandwagon. And Andy Dalton left. I have no reason – to take the Cowboys. I would actually, right now I'm leaning Washington or New York. And at those odds, New York looks nice.
Of the three of us, and I'm sure Debo isn't taking the Cowboys, none of us is taking the Cowboys in the division, which is bonkers.
Yeah. I feel like the Cowboys are going to be the obvious top pick by a lot of people. I was a little worried that too many people were on Washington, but I think the Giants will get some buzz. You know, honestly, the more I sort of look at it, maybe the Eagles aren't as bad off as we think.
Well, Jalen Hurts has to play better than Drew Lock. That's a starting point. Is Miles Sanders? How do you feel about Miles Sanders, Debo?
Love him.
I love him. Okay. Miles Sanders, Penn State. You know, Debo loves.
No,
him.
Go ahead.
No, that's okay. I didn't know because he was injured for. Oh, you didn't like him chirping.
No, I mean I despise Saquon Barkley. So,
why do you despise Saquon?
I just don't really care for those players once they enter the league.
Players like Giants players?
No, Eagles or Penn State players. Yeah. I don't latch on to Garrett Bradbury for the next like 16 years like Brinson.
So this is a So this is a little bit like your love life where you just kind of use and abuse and spit them out in college and then you ditch them once
they
go.
Very unfair way to put it, but
it's probably fair. I'm just kidding, Debo. You're clearly a classy gentleman.
Does the Cowboys signing Keanu Neal change anyone's opinion about the defense getting better in terms of how we have them ranked in the division?
No, but I do think that
to start.
Keanu Neal is a really nice signing for his skill set versus what everyone else in the division does, which is with Jalen Hurts there, run. With Jason Garrett in New York, run.
Yeah.
And with Washington, run. Like, I think Keanu Neal is a nice addition because he's going to get down in the box. He's going to lay wood on dudes if he's healthy. And that's not as great in coverage, but I don't think it doesn't matter. I guess I'm just saying with this division, I think that is a nice signing because of how all those teams operate.
Yeah, that's right. They also signed Kenny Neal, so that helps.
Yeah. And you're talking about 1 year, $5 million.
Same as Anthony Harris, which is head scratching.
Yes. Good job by the, Colts to bring back Xavier Rhodes on a 1 year deal. I think he played, like you said, Wilson, he played well last year. Mm-hmm. And they need him. You know, that defense at times was really good. Matt Eberflus made some great adjustments in the second half of games last year. But then, you know, at times it would sort of kind of disappear and they would need to, but like, I think the Colts, unless Carson Wentz just flips the switch, the Colts are going to need to be a lot better on defense and a lot better. And they're going to need to, they're going to need to be as good in the run game and as good on defense as they were last year to have as much success as they did last year with Carson Wentz, in my opinion.
Yeah. I think Breach is of the opinion that Carson Wentz will actually flip the switch. Is that right, Breach?
I am of that opinion. I think that Wentz being good is going to help that defense, which didn't need a lot of help because they were really good last year. They're returning, I think, 9 of 11, 10 of 11 now that Rhodes is re-signed. So I think maybe, depending on what, yeah, so they've got, I think, 10 of 11 starters back, and so they should be just as good as they were last year. And you throw Carson Wentz in there, And if he gives you a slight upgrade over Phillip Rivers, I mean, we saw what this team did last year. The offense was pretty good with Rivers. Obviously, they finished 11-5. And so if Wentz just gives you a slight upgrade, I mean, you're talking about a team that can win 12 games, maybe 13 games. Is that crazy?
Good Lord. You hear that? Slight upgrade over Rivers, Brinson. You didn't respond to that because you're focused on something else. And 13 wins.
I'm not focused on NBA Top Shot and the March Madness at all. I consider that to be one of the dumbest things I've heard anyone say this offseason.
He said some pretty dumb things.
What?
Phillip Rivers is just better than Carson Wentz.
So oh, yeah. If the Colts win 12 games, you'll get a Carson Wentz tattoo?
I will not.
Ah, so you're scared, what Carson.
If, what if the Colts win 12 games with Carson Wentz and Breach beats you 6-0, 6-0?
If Breach beats me 6-0, 6-0, I'll get a tattoo.
Oh, yeah. You did it, Breach. The pressure's on.
I got a Top Shot pack. Pretty exciting. 59K slid right under there.
Oh, I'm gonna send Breach like how they send the draft prospects to Arizona to train. I'm sending Breach to a tennis training center.
Send me to Florida. That's where to Bradenton. That's where all the big guys are.
Next 6 months.
I'm gonna live there.
Oh God, that'd be worth it.
So yeah, the Colts are not better with Carson Wentz.
They could, like, I'm beginning
Phillip
to think
Rivers, Carson, Phillip Rivers is like better statistically in 2019 than or 2020 than Carson Wentz was in 2017.
But I'm starting to think that Carson's going to be comfortable with Frank Reich, and I think that maybe the pressure will be off. He'll be in Indianapolis, which is a Midwestern sensibilities town, as opposed to Philadelphia, where they try to kill Santa Claus, yada, yada, yada.
Offensive line is 10 times better. He's got, I mean, weapons. There's just a lot to like about what he might be able to do in Indy.
Plays indoors, the whole thing. All right, I'm coming around. We'll see. That said, I don't know. They'll be better than the Texans. I got to figure out the rest of the division.
good call there.
The Colts are at plus 100 to win the division. Titans are plus 115.
I don't get that. I think the Titans are a slam bet.
That's because you hate Carson Wentz. Yeah.
As the Nashville homer here, I do not think the Titans are a slam bet there.
I mean, they got
because you're on the Colts this year. It is fun to see how this all shakes out. I always forget, like, it's fun to see like the alignment moves that we all make during the offseason. But you can kind of tell like who's going to be on what team based on how like the early portion of the podcast shakes out. And then of course the draft matters too. But you know, it's like clearly like there's a reversal of roles here where Breach is going to be the Colts guy and I'm going to be the Titans guy this year, which is fun.
But real quick, like the Titans, they lost Corey Davis. They lost Jonnu Smith. So all of a sudden you're down quite a few targets. Unless you're going to give the ball to Derrick Henry 90 times per game. And then obviously there's still questions about their pass rush, even though they signed Bud Dupree.
Yeah, Bud Dupree coming from ACL. They cut Adoree Jackson. They cut Malcolm Butler. So
a lot of defensive questions too.
That's fair. Wilson's kind of, you know, Wilson's trying to do this thing where he's like he's going to let you know that he's the guy on the Chargers. And even though the Chargers are obviously
on the Chargers,
I know you are, but the Chargers are obviously going to become the team that
come on early. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to get in early.
I know. But you need to be tweeting out like the Chargers are this year's Super Bowl dark horse. Also, right. I'm on the Chargers too. Cause I'm on the Rams. The Rams are my team this year.
I'm on the Chargers. I'm on, I think I'm going to go Giants over football team, and I might just go Jaguars. I might go crazy.
This is insane. Yeah. Wilson and I had 7 of the same 8 division winners picks last year. Now it's going to happen again. It's like we copy off each other.
I'm on football team.
So I think I'm on Titans football team, Rams, and probably on the Chargers too. Honestly, but sort of on the Broncos. I can't tell.
Yeah, I'm not getting on an AFC West team, so I know what the Broncos. If Drew Lock shows up to training camp as their quarterback, then I'll know that I'm not on the bandwagon.
A lot's riding on Brandon Staley being good too. If he's Zach Taylor 2.0, we're in a world of hurt.
That is true. So you know who does have a bandwagon going? Joe Burrow, and he's got an offensive lineman. He took him out to a nice steak dinner. Riley Reiff signs with the Bengals. They finally threw a Band-Aid, slapped a Band-Aid on the bleeding that was happening with the offensive line, their whiffs in free agency. Peter King pointed out on Monday morning, too, it's like, it's kind of a bad sign when former Bengals guard, like former Bengals Pro Bowler Kevin Zeitler, takes less money to sign with the Ravens and instead of coming back home and playing for the Bengals. But they ended up landing Riley Reiff, and by all accounts, Joe Burrow was like, so in on trying to get someone to help him that he dragged Riley out to a steak dinner, and he signed almost immediately after that. The Bengals also released Geno Atkins and traded Ryan Finley to the Texans.
Yeah, we got an incorporated Texans logo now, right?
Yeah, might as well. Why not? That'll be on the other arm. So, Breach, let me ask you this: the Riley Reiff thing makes a ton of sense. Clearly, he's in his 30s, so age may be a factor, but in the mock draft that I had that came out Monday, I had the Bengals at number 5 with Penei Sewell on the board taking Jalen Waddle because they have Riley Reiff and they obviously have Jonah Williams coming back. Would you still take Penei Sewell there, or are you okay taking Jalen Waddle?
I think I take Penei because I would want to get a tackle. If you can get the best tackle in the draft sitting in your lap at number 5, I think you have to take it. And I do think they need at least one more weapon. Like, I would have been thrilled if Kenny Galladay signed with the Bengals. Obviously, that didn't happen. So I do think they need to get another receiver in there.
You can't go receiver at the top of the draft.
No, that's what I'm saying. Is I would not, if my choices are receiver or tackle, I'm going tackle. But I do like the way the Bengals offensive line is shaking out. And I know they've been talking.
Is that only because they cut Bobby Hart?
Well, that was nice. And, Riley Reiff upgrade over Bobby Hart is like going from Matt Barkley to Tom Brady.
I keep forgetting they have Jonah Williams too.
Yeah, they have Jonah Williams at left tackle. And so, obviously maybe you bring in someone on the interior offensive line. I know they were talking.
What do you think about this, Breach? Because I actually, sure. A scout texted me today after the mock draft came out and said, they're taking Penei Sewell. And he said, you just kick Jonah Williams inside because, the thing with Jonah was that he has short arms, whatever. So you have Jonah Williams presumably playing next to either Penei Sewell or Riley Reiff. And then you have, three birds with one stone to make up a saying.
I mean, you go from having one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL to probably being top 10 if Penei Sewell pans out, if you have Jonah Williams at one of the guard spots. And I know they're looking at other guys still with maybe Trey Turner and Nick Easton. I think Easton was with the Texans and Turner's with the Chargers. And so those would both be upgrades from what the Bengals currently have. And so, this is looking to be a completely revamped offensive line. And that's the one thing, when every Bengals fan pulled out their hair watching Joe Burrow go down in that Washington game, it was, oh my God, if they don't do something about this offensive line, the first 48 hours of free agency, the Bengals didn't do anything. And you're pulling out more hair and you're saying, oh my God, if they don't do something about this offensive line, I might jump off the bandwagon. I would never jump off the bandwagon. So it is refreshing to see them do this. And honestly, if they have a good to great offensive line, we're talking about dark horses. I'm just saying, guys. I'm just saying.
Steelers could be wrapped up fourth in the division.
Brinson's prediction comes true a year later.
That actually could be true. I might have to run it back, babe.
You're running it back till it happens.
Let me just put it this way. If you look at the betting odds in the AFC North, where's the value? Ravens plus 110, Browns plus 180, Steelers plus 340, yeah. Bengals plus 2,000. You can take a flyer on that?
Not to win the division.
Plus 2,000?
What's that?
20-1.
That's a 5% chance they win a division? That sounds high.
I mean, you're asking the Ravens and Browns and Steelers to all suck.
Yeah, they don't have to suck. The division got three teams in the playoffs. You could still send three.
Here's what was half tap. So let's say, the Ravens have to go 9-7. The Browns have to go 8-8, and the Steelers aren't going to go better than 8-8. So the question is, are the Bengals 9-7 tiebreaker or better? There's 10 wins out there for them.
Maybe.
No, there's not.
I mean,
that's a trick question.
Rhetorical question. I just sort of would need you, Breach, to explain to me how the Bengals defense is going to be good.
Well, if their offense is scoring 45 points a game, they don't have to be. That's the
gotcha there.
Guess I'll take that L. Yes.
Next stop, 10-6 or 10. Yeah. Oh, great news though, Breach. If we're playing 17 games, they have an extra game to get to 10. Bad news: all the other teams play an extra game, so that then that makes it.
Breach is definitely going to find some way to like against.
You said 10 wins last year, I think, didn't you?
No, I said that was the absolute ceiling. Was I think 9 wins?
Okay.
I mean, the Bengals last year were 27th in defensive DVOA, and their defense was actually better than their offense.
Yeah, they haven't done anything defensively to get better. They lost Wayne Jackson.
Defense, but like DJ Reader was their big free agency signing last season. He only played in 5 games last year. And so, you know, now you bring in Trey Hendrickson. And again, I wasn't a huge fan of that signing, but if DJ Reader's healthy, you have him on that line with Hendrickson. They just signed a little underrated signing was Larry Ogunjobi from the Browns, which
Ogunjobi.
I like him on that line.
Big L. He's a good player. UNC Charlotte guy.
The defense is going to be better, which doesn't really say a lot.
Mike Hilton, he didn't bring that one up. Weird.
I mean, I think the Bengals are capable of taking a step on both sides of the ball.
But they're not winning 10 games.
If 7 games feel like it might be a win for them.
That's a huge, that saves Zach Taylor's job.
I mean,
put $10 on the Bengals and win it all. Just the division, not the Super Bowl. You win 200. Do it. I'm going to do it. I'm gonna do it right now. I'm logging in.
All right, well, let's see you do it.
My login.
And you're going to have to post that on Twitter, please. Because nobody believes that.
NFL odds aren't up yet.
All right. What else do we have on this list of things to do? Oh, yes.
Seahawks re-sign Chris Carson.
Love that deal. Don't love the deal for Chris Carson. 2 years, $14.5 million.
That's not terrible money. I mean, is he a top 10 back?
Probably.
It's close, though, right? I mean, you get to think about it.
Yeah, he's been hurt some. I mean, what they do in Seattle, you know, you have to think that it's a big win for Seattle because having to lean on Rashad Penny would have been a problem, in my opinion. I think it's sort of one of those. And I do every Wednesday with Chuck and Buck out in Seattle and KJR. We were talking about Chris Carson. I was like, I think this is probably a guy who's taking a shorter deal. That's, you know, 2 years that it says 2 years, but it's actually 1 or 3 years, but it's actually 2. And you go back and play for Seattle and you hope you have a really good season. And then you can, you know, what you can ultimately do is hit free agency again when the cap goes up. And so I think that's probably what you're looking at with Chris Carson, and you're hoping that you're healthy. I mean, there's no way he was going to get Alvin Kamara deal.
No, right. I think it makes sense.
Or even who else got paid? Joe Mixon. I mean, even a Joe Mixon deal. Wasn't he in the same draft, 2017?
Maybe. I don't know.
I think so. That sort of deal just wasn't going to be there for Chris Carson, I don't think. Philip Lindsay on the Texans. What do we think? The Texans have like made 400 of the
weirdest moves.
Weirdest moves ever. Yeah.
So they have Mark Ingram and Philip Lindsay now in the backfield. Yep. They got rid of Duke Johnson, who's basically Philip Lindsay. They signed Chris Conley. Most importantly, they got Ryan Finley. They signed Tyrod Taylor, another quarterback. Ryan Izzo, formerly of the Patriots, and Marcus Cannon, formerly of the Patriots, which is not unusual given the Nick Casario connection. Shaq Lawson, the linebacker. Crugier Hill, the linebacker. Malik Collins, and then Derek Rivers also. At one point, probably the Patriots. So, yeah, ton of, like, I don't have the numbers here, but I feel like this is the second most, perhaps, after the Patriots in terms of actual transactions. But
they've added more than 20 players through free agency or trades.
But at no point is anyone confusing them for the Patriots thinking that they're actually better than they were 2 weeks ago.
No. It does feel like, okay, I can't believe I'm saying this. It does feel a little bit like the way that Bill Belichick tried to attack the Patriots when he first got there. Just in the sense of you don't go out and spend big. You go out and just make some – you're trying to just build depth and build a better roster than people think you have. I mean,
I get that. But they don't have any salary cap space or draft picks either, though. And they're going to lose a quarterback.
Right. And well, the quarterback thing is a whole other ball of wax. We had more masseuses come out and file civil lawsuits against Deshaun Watson and one with some very graphic and problematic allegations in it that I am almost certain we cannot discuss on this podcast.
Yeah, I didn't read them yet. I saw them, but I didn't get a chance to read it.
Oh, buddy, one of them is not good.
Very graphic. And now, as of we're recording this Monday at, it's like 3 p.m. Eastern, there are 13 lawsuits in total. So that is a lot of explaining that Deshaun Watson and his lawyer and everybody else representing him are going to have to be doing over the next few days.
I mean, that is a wild number. 13 lawsuits.
Not great.
Not great. So, yeah, I mean, I think you look at the Texans and you feel like 5 to 8 win team max. Is that too generous?
8? How's that going to happen?
Stuff happens all the time in this league.
I mean, the Bengals are...
Yeah, I was going to say, Brinson thinks the Bengals can win 5 games. Now he's saying that the Texans can win 8?
Well, Texans, that's 9 out of 10 games.
Well, that's based on the idea that Deshaun Watson's coming back because they won't be able to trade him. Let me ask you this. If the Texans, if the stuff that's going on off the field with Watson, the allegations, if that causes the Texans to be unable to trade him until the draft, who does he play for in 2021? Because I think it's the Texans. If you don't trade him before the draft, you're not trading him for 2021 draft picks after the draft, are you?
I just read that thing. That's terrible.
It's bad.
The allegation.
It's real bad.
Sweet mercy. Okay. What's the question?
I know. I was reading it. I was like, I don't know how I feel about my conspiracy theory. I mean, I do maintain that it's insane how all of these are civil lawsuits and they all came together at the exact same time in the exact same like 50 to 60 day window where the Texans were going to have to trade him. And everyone, even like you, John McClain's writing, the Texans have decided that, you know, that it's time, they're going to do it. And then all of a sudden this all just lands. Like, I mean, there's a lot of people to land at the exact, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just.
Right. And I mean, there's a ton of ways to look at this, but there is one, you know, like there's a power numbers thing. You don't want to be the only person filing a civil lawsuit against an NFL quarterback because that's, you know, people are crazy. They're going to say mean things to you and find you on social media and be horrible about it. And so when you
and also I would say this too, is like someone who's worked in a law office and like, if you have this case, you're not just going to like, you don't just like slap the lawsuit together and sprint to the courthouse and get it filed. You do your due diligence and try to reach out to other people to see if there might be, you know what I'm saying? Like you, if you're the attorney, if you have more people who corroborate this behavior, it's going to make the ability to win the civil lawsuit far easier.
Right. And you start to establish a pattern of behavior.
And you start to, you know, the attorney for the masseuses has also said he's going to request that a grand jury be convened. And when you do that, you really put pressure on the defendant, Deshaun Watson, in this case. So, I mean, I understand that there's a lot of research and all that goes into it. I can't help but look at the timing and be like, man, it's just wild how that timing worked. Cause this is something to me that usually pops up in June. Or, you know, like this is something that usually drops in the offseason.
Well, either way, it ain't good for all people involved.
No, it's not. I just think, based on some of the newest ones, that there's a good chance he stays with the Texans now.
As of Sunday, Aaron Wilson, Houston Chronicle, had a report. So this is, I think there were 7 lawsuits at that time. And he said that multiple teams remain interested, and those teams were the Eagles, Panthers, Jets, Dolphins, and 49ers.
And I said it whenever we talked last week. NFL teams will forgive a lot. We don't know what's true or not true in this case, but they'll forgive a lot.
Yeah, but the two problems here, one, if you're at the team that trades for Deshaun Watson, like let's say the Panthers trade for him hypothetically, and you give up 2 or 3 first-round picks, whatever it is, you trade for him, and then you're getting, like the headline of the Charlotte Observer is, Panthers trade for Watson, land, you know, comma, with 22 lawsuits pending.
Well, and you know, like their owner, their former owner just got forced out because of problematic behavior. So if you're the Panthers, I'm not sure. And that's where, as more allegations come out, I think you're going to start seeing teams kind of backtrack and say, all right, you know, we're just going to hold off and see how this plays out before we do anything crazy.
Well, and presumably, if you're a team that trades for Deshaun Watson, you are expecting to try to make a playoff and Super Bowl run in 2021. And we don't know how this is going to play out. And of course, you know, innocent until proven guilty. And this is a civil case. These are civil cases as well. So there's no actual, innocence versus guilt. It's preponderance of evidence. But, you know, the NFL is going to be monitoring this. And if it ends up, you know, that Deshaun Watson, is charged or, you know, however these things shake out, there's a decent chance that he misses multiple games. And so if you're an NFL team that's trying to make a push for the playoffs, try to win a Super Bowl, and you acquire Deshaun Watson, he misses multiple games, one, that obviously it hurts your case. It hurts your chances of doing that. And two, you're probably giving back first-round picks to the Texans, and those first-round picks are going to be a lot better if you don't have Deshaun Watson in those games. So it's a really tough thing. I mean, obviously – The lawsuits matter more than anything, but it's a tough thing to try to balance if you're an NFL team making a move for a guy of his on-field talents.
Yep.
Okay.
Indeed.
The Rams signed Deshaun Jackson. I really like that move.
Yeah, they're making moves for a team that doesn't have a lot of wiggle room to make moves and not a lot of draft picks. So, you know, they're your favorites, as you mentioned, your dark horses. So they have Matthew Stafford, Leonard Floyd, Deshaun Jackson.
Lost Josh Reynolds, who also signed with the Texans.
Titans.
Why did I think the Texans?
Because they both start with T.
Yep, you're right.
Deshaun Jackson, real quick. He had three really good years playing under Sean McVay in Washington, 2014, 2016. He led the NFL in yards per catch in two of those 3 years. So McVay definitely knows how to take advantage of Deshaun Jackson's talents. Mainly, he's fast. And Matthew Stafford has a rocket arm. So this is an interesting combo. I like this signing a lot. It's not a huge risk for the Rams. And, you know, Deshaun Jackson, it's kind of one last chance to win a Super Bowl, which is going to happen, according to Brinson.
When did Josh Reynolds sign with the Bengals?
The Titans.
Oh, today. He said the Bengals. Oh, today.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a great signing for the Bengals.
I don't know how many games you can expect to get out of Deshaun Jackson. He's been injured a lot in his career. But if you get 6 to 10 games out of him with Matthew Stafford throwing that deep ball, he's going to put up some numbers.
Yeah, he'll be like like Brandon Cooks, but not nearly as thick. He's much lighter than that, but that type of threat.
He's even faster than Brady. I just think I like the signing because you have Robert Woods, you have Cooper Kupp. You don't need to ask him. You don't need Deshaun to be some major impact guy. Also, another signing I liked. The Jets got Sheldon Rankins, former first-round pick out of Louisville, drafted by the Saints in 2016, $17 million deal over 2 years. I sort of like, Rankins, Carl Lawson, Corey Davis. I like what the Jets are doing. I don't think they're going to be a Super Bowl contender or anything like that, but I think they're actually putting some stuff together, and it's going to make their situation in the draft even more interesting than it has been before.
Yep, LaMarcus Joyner as well, who had a coming off the year with the Raiders, so they get depth there. Jared Davis, the Lions, Keelan Cole, so they have another wide receiver there, which probably played a part in Juju Smith-Schuster not being an option for them. You mentioned Carl Lawson. Yeah, so they just got to sort out the quarterback situation.
That's a lot to sort out.
Yeah, it could be pretty easy, though.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be that bad. The Dolphins waived Isaiah Wilson.
Amazing. So first-round pick last year for the Titans. I think he practiced 5 times. He never played, right, Breach?
He had 2 COVID situations.
He did play a few snaps last year. I think it was literally like 4 or 5 snaps. And the COVID situations are because he kept going on public. He was at a college party in August before the season started.
I think maybe there was a DUI in there somewhere.
Yes, there was. Yeah, there was a DUI in there.
I don't want to say that.
Oh, no, that's right. That's right.
Okay.
Because I was actually talking about it with somebody on radio, and they were like, and the DUI, I was like, oh, right. Yeah, that probably led to his release as well.
That was September 12th, so that was literally the first week of the season. Eesh.
And you know what? You know what's kind of interesting? This flies in the face of my Titans pick, but I do think John Robinson, who's done a very good job as the general manager there, has sort of had some rough misfires lately in free agency and in the draft because they declined to pick up the 5th-year option for Corey Davis. You know, they'd have him on a fairly reasonable deal this year.
$15.5 million. That's a lot of money for Corey Davis. Because that's why I was like, I love the Juju thing, because that's only $8 million. Like, $8 million for Corey Davis, sure. Like, 15 and a half, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, 15 and a half is a lot.
When the Dolphins traded for Isaiah Wilson, they swapped seventh-round picks with the Titans. So the Titans basically get to move up in the seventh round for nothing because the Dolphins don't get anything out of it.
Yeah, but the Titans – but my point was, like, so they didn't do the fifth-year option on Corey Davis. Then they didn't do the fifth-year option – or before that, they didn't do the fifth-year option on Jack Conklin. And because they didn't use the fifth-year option on Jack Conklin, he left in free agency, went to the Browns, and they drafted Isaiah Wilson specifically as his replacement, and they traded him for a seventh, swapping seventh-round picks a year later. Like,
right. Now, that's a good point. Yeah, that's right. I like that.
Yeah, I just sort of meant that they've made some, you know, they said that the Clowney signing last year didn't work out. You know,
Vic Beasley.
Vic Beasley didn't work out. So there's,
and you could say they were desperate and that's why they made those signings, but you knew that your edge rush situation was going to be garbage. So you have to sort of figure it out before it's too late.
There's some reasons to question how the Titans, and the Titans have been good. Like, I don't want to dog on, you know, the Ryan Tannehill trade was awesome. They made the AJ Brown draft was fantastic, but
what does it say about Isaiah Wilson? Like, he had a second chance to start over in Miami and he was there a week and a half.
So he also went to a party on South Beach for New Year's Eve. So he was in Miami while he was still playing for the Titans. And this is how you get released quickly, according to Tom Pelissero. He was hours late for his physical. So that's a strike. He was late for his onboarding process, which maybe getting to Miami. I don't know. Number three, he didn't show up for voluntary workouts he had committed to attending on both Thursday and Friday of last week.
God, I mean, that's you traded a seventh round pick for a guy. It's like, all right, move on. I mean, clearly this guy has some off field stuff that he just.
And look, Jim Nagy, the Senior Bowl director, who was a scout forever, said this the other day on Twitter. People actually were sort of clapped back at him. I think that's how the kids say, according to Debo. He said, not everyone in the NFL likes football. Like, it's a job. Like, there are people that we know that have jobs that just go to work because they got to pay bills. And that's how some people feel. And maybe that's, you mentioned off-field situation. Maybe there's something else going on. But if he doesn't like football, he doesn't like football. So,
And that's, you see, you know, like the Tom Brady's of the world, they eat, sleep, drink football. That is all they do. It is not a job. It is, they want to win at all costs. And you definitely have players who maybe they're in it for the money because it is a job. And that's why I think you see things like Russell Wilson saying, I want to have the same personnel. It might not necessarily have to do with the fact that, hey, I want to bring in the best players. I'll take a guy that's, 2% worse if he loves football and the other guy doesn't and just views it as a job. Because, you know, it is. There are a lot of guys who just view it as a job and aren't in that kind of win-at-all-costs mode that you see guys like Tom Brady in.
And by the way, he made $6.4 million last year. That is his to keep, I would imagine. I don't think they're going to get back a signing bonus because he was there for a year, right? Or did they get prorated parts of it because the whole contract was – how does that work?
I think he gets everything. Okay. No. You could have – it depends what his contract said about voiding stuff because he had the DUI.
There's enough off-field and COVID stuff that they could probably void some of the stuff. But, I mean, he's going to get
– So I'm going to just guess – he's gotten at least $3 million out of this. Like 6.4 would be the max.
Why do you think he's in South Beach partying?
But I mean, now the cash flow is drying up. So I feel like this is way worse than the Seahawks undrafted free agent guy trying to sneak someone in as a Seahawks personnel person. At least that's inventive. At least you're trying. You're still getting cut, but at least you're not just showing up late for practice.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that this is a part of this is a result? And by the way, Isaiah Wilson was the draft pick where the guy was pooping in the background of Mike Vrabel's house. Do you think that this is partially a result of NFL teams being unable to do the full scouting process on guys?
No, I don't think so. I mean, and even last year during the fall, the scouts were traveling, so they were able to talk to everybody and their brother. I don't think that's what it was. I think maybe to your point that they
sort of desperation. Like
it was desperate. That's right. They lost Conklin, and maybe there were salary cap issues last year. I can't remember, but they lost him to Cleveland, and they had to. Had a hold of Phil. I'd have to look and see.
But when you take a starting tackle out of a Power 5 school, especially the SEC, you don't think they're going to just completely tank like this.
I mean, that's the other thing.
There's no way you could see something like this coming.
Played on the other side of Andrew Thomas, who, you know, he struggled last year, but he didn't give up. And, you know, by the end, he was playing much better. So, right, that's right. That's the other thing.
Well, remember, he was the fifth tackle taken in the first.
Yeah, I'm trying to look.
It was Andrew Thomas, Mekhi Becton. Andrew Thomas, Jedrick Wills, Mekhi Becton, Tristan Wirfs, So that's in the first 13 picks. And then the Dolphins grabbed Austin Jackson, which, you know, leads you to believe that they were probably at least considering Isaiah Wilson there before going with Jackson, you know, since they were the team that got in on him. And then Jackson was taken.
So I'm looking at the rest of the tackles drafted last year. No one had a buzz.
He was the sixth tackle taken.
Six. That's right. But Ezra Cleveland, he may get to play this year because Riley Reiff is gone in Minnesota. But I mean, Josh Jones, I don't think he played a lot last year. So you go through these names, and Matt Peart had to play for the Giants. I know Giants fans were sort of mixed on that, but there's no one that screams, "Oh my God, how'd you pass up that guy when you needed an offensive tackle?" So maybe
I would agree with that, but I think it sort of reminds me of, and we'll see how this pans out, but like the Packers drafting AJ Dillon or the Jets drafting Denzel Mims. The Titans basically got stuck on the tail end of a tackle run. You know, five guys who were really good last year over on balance go before him, and they're just sort of jammed and have to take.
And that's where, you know, you say, oh, we lost someone, we need to fill that. But you also have to be aware that you can't just reach like that. You have five tackles go in the top 20. The Titans didn't pick until 29th overall. So they could have said, all right, we had three guys on our board. They all got taken. Let's move to another position. You don't take the sixth best player at your position who might have been a second round pick on your draft board because you know, you're afraid of losing all the tackles. You were in a bad spot. You didn't trade up. And so one of you guys said it. It seems like they just panicked and they took Isaiah Wilson, and that pick has blown up in their face.
Last year, late in the draft process, Isaiah Wilson was a name that people were talking about as a possibly sneak in the first round. And I'll be honest, like, I watch all these players, like offensive tackles and guards and centers. I don't have any real sense for who's technically sound. I know if they're doing a good job in terms of blocking, but Isaiah Wilson didn't exactly jump off the screen when I watched him. I was like, oh, he's a really thick guy and he moves okay, but he's not nearly as good as Andrew Thomas. But, you know, at that time of year, you don't know what to believe either. So maybe people were talking Isaiah Wilson up, or maybe they weren't, but he ended up going in the first round. So it was still surprising. But I think at the end of the day, basically being 2 months in, they're like, oh my God, what have we done?
It's a good lesson too, though, because some of the guys taken after him, T. Higgins and Michael Pittman, look like impact wide receivers. Chase Claypool in the second round, you know, and I get that, you know, Titans didn't need a wide receiver last year, but you'd obviously much rather have one of those guys on there now, especially with Corey Davis gone, LaVisca Chenault, you could throw in that mix as well. Yeah. And then if you want to focus on defense, I mean, Yetur Gross-Matos is a defensive lineman, an edge guy that they would love to have. He was great for the Panthers last year. Jeremy Chinn went in the second round, although after the Titans picked a second time, you know, Van Jefferson, you have running backs out here with like J.K. Dobbins and Cam Akers. You know, I wouldn't worry too much about that, but Antoine Winfield, I mean, I'm just saying, there's that second round was really good last year, and the Titans, you know, could have had any number of those guys instead of Isaiah Wilson, but because they didn't have that option on Conklin, because they had that hole, because they thought they could win this year, they probably reached on him, and as a result ended up, you know, that's how you can set yourself back in a big way from a franchise perspective. All right, winners and losers from the weekend. Let's do those real quick. Wilson, a winner.
Oh, let's see. Let me look at the rundown real quick so I can refresh my memory. Of course, I shut it down. Breach, go ahead while I look this up real quick.
My winner is Kenny Galladay. The man got paid $18 million a year. Nobody thought he was going to be able to get that kind of money. The Giants outbid themselves. And if you think you're in a market where you're going to get $13, $14, or $15 million, you land $18 million, you're a winner.
I let you go first, Breach, as a test, and you failed. I'm going with Riley Reiff because he's going to more specifically, Riley Reiff is the guy, but the winner.
Well, how about Joe Burrow? Yeah.
I was going to say Joe Burrow was the winner because they signed Riley Reiff to play tackle. What?
Joke's on you because now I'm the winner because I wanted one of you guys to call the Bengals a winner. Boom.
So Joe Burrow's the winner. And another quarterback from Cincinnati, formerly of Cincinnati now, is also the winner because Ryan Finley's going to be the starting quarterback in Houston in a couple months because he got traded there.
I don't know if that makes him a winner.
It makes Texans fans losers. I know that much.
I was going to say Daniel Jones is an obvious winner, but I will say Vic Fangio is a winner.
For now.
I mean, you know, look, he needed more pieces on the back end of his defensive line. On the back of his defense, and he was able to get him because they signed Justin Simmons. Justin Simmons is perfect in his defense. Kyle Fuller will be great in his defense. And so I think we'll see how the offense and the quarterback work. But, I mean, if I told you Drew Lock was an average quarterback next year, you would say that the Broncos are winning 7 or 8 games minimum.
Average is 8. I mean, that's maximum. That's what average means.
And Brinson, you said 4 should be good with Vic Fangio. He already was good once with Vic Fangio, who was Fangio's defense coordinator in Chicago from 2015 to 2018. Correct. And 4 was there for all 4 of those seasons and was very good during those 4 seasons.
All right. How about a loser, Breach?
I'm going to say the Houston Texans.
They just got Ryan Finley.
Well, you know what, Ryan? I know they're your winner, but they're in an impossible quarterback situation right now.
Unprecedented
because look, here's where you are. If you somehow trade Deshaun Watson at this point, you're getting less compensation. Nobody's going to give you what they were going to give you a month ago because of all the controversy surrounding him and all these lawsuits out there that are alleging, all sexual assault, sexual misconduct. So Deshaun Watson's value has shot down. And if no one trades for him, then Deshaun Watson is stuck on your roster when he made it clear that he does not want to be playing for your football team. So you're stuck with a quarterback who doesn't want to play for you, who is still controversial. So this is the Texans are literally in a no-win situation here. So sorry, Texans. I feel sorry for you, but you're my loser.
I'm going with Isaiah Wilson. We just talked about it. I mean, he was a first-round pick 11 months ago, and now he is currently out of the NFL.
That's a pretty easy answer. Does Mr. Trubisky qualify as a loser?
Why?
He's got to take back $2.5 million to be a backup.
He's a winner. He's going to be in a really good football team. No pressure. He's an upgrade over Matt Barkley. He plays an offense that fits exactly what he does as Josh Allen 2.0. Like a loser, Mr. Trubisky, if he has to go back to Chicago.
Okay. How about a loser? I can't remember the days and times anymore because it's just college basketball on Monday. How about Michael Brockers? Because he had to go apologize to
he did apologize, so that's good. So now they're all friends, so maybe he's a winner.
Yeah, that's true. Whatever. That's I'll say those are my two losers. Actually, I'll say the Jaguars are losers.
Why?
I don't think they've done a whole lot that's really impressive in free agency.
In general. Okay.
And I think part of the problem is that Urban Meyer and Trent Baalke have not been in prominent roles negotiating with free agents over the last few years. And
the last few years. I thought you meant the last few weeks.
No. And no, as a result, like they just don't have the.
Yeah, but that talks, baby.
You think so? But they got all the money.
Maybe
they ended up signing Carlos Hyde. So we'll see. All right, that's the show. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Thanks for chatting. For Wilson and Breachapalooza, I'm Will. We'll see you guys later.
New CBS Monday.
NCIS. Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent Island, you got here.
Walking to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii. Monday, starting at 9/8 Central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.